Good morning, friends. It's good to see you today. On what a lovely day, bright, fine, the sun is shining, the sky is blue. What a good day to be here and to open up God's word and to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. And as we read and think through your word now, please speak to our hearts and minds by your spirit, that we may grow to love you more and to serve you faithfully in all that we do. Amen. George and Brian were two friends, and they'd seen the value of supporting one another in prayer as in their lives as Christian men. They decided to meet each week and support each other. They'd read the Bible, talk over the week, and then pray together. And after a while, they noticed that their times of prayer were mostly involved in praying for each other's problems. As they met that week, neither of them had any significant problem, and their prayer time was fairly short. But that week they'd read this passage from Philippians, and having some extra time, they decided to explore it further because it was about Paul's prayer for his partners in Philippi. Verse 9 caught George's attention. Brian, he said, verse 9 says, as Paul's praying, "This is my prayer that your love might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." He said, that's really different to how we pray. We pray for each other's problems. But here, Paul's praying for their growth as followers of Jesus, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge. Hey, you're right, Brian. We just pray for our problems. But here, Paul's praying for their growth as Christians. We know it's good to bring our struggles and problems before the Lord, but this opens up a new door for our prayers. Let's look at this a bit closer. That day changed their prayer life forever. Let's see what they discovered as they talked about this further. First, they saw that Paul, firstly, prayed for love that knows God. That's the first heading on those sheets if you're following them. Faith, hope, and love are three qualities that God causes to appear in the life of his people. The gospel reveals God's love is demonstrated in the death of his son to those who ignore him, and the gospel generates faith as those who hear it grasp God's promise of forgiveness and they set their hearts in the hope which God announces. So Paul prays that God will cause them to grow more and more in knowledge and love, he says in verse 9 of this passage. There's a link between love and knowledge. When his readers heard the gospel for the first time, they began to know the truth about God. They could see his love, his mercy, his justice, his forgiveness. As they heard these truths about God from Paul, they saw the God of heaven was so different to the gods that they'd worshipped in their community. Paul prays here that their knowledge of God would grow even brighter and great clearer. That's true for us too. As you get to know a person better, you find out things which excite them, things that they find satisfying. You find out what frightens them and what causes anxiety in them. You learn what things bring them peace and helps them feel secure. As you know them better, that enables you to love them more. Paul prays that his readers who have come to know and love God will get to know him better so they might love him more and more. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, Paul prays this prayer. He says, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all a measure of the fullness of God. How encouraging to pray that for that our love would abound in knowledge. Verse 9 goes further. Paul prays that their love will abound in knowledge and insight, he says in verse 9. The word abound here means there's no limits. That is, our knowledge of God can always grow. There are always new things we find out about God and his character and his ways. New depths for us to appreciate God. Always able to discover the fathomless riches of God's love for us in this chapter and his character. He prays that we will abound in knowledge and insight or perception of how to live in a godly way in every situation in life. The idea of insight here refers to knowing appropriately what godly behaviour is in every life situation, to know God's character so well that we know how to behave in a godly way in every situation we encounter. That's the insight that Paul prays that God to give his readers. It's like a married couple. You get to know what each other likes and what they dislike. It's a knowledge that keeps growing. And as we use that knowledge to love them or to hurt them, you can use that knowledge to help them to enjoy a situation or to ruin it. Paul prays that his readers will grow in their knowledge of God so that they will love him and know how he wants them to live. Well, Brian said to George, this is teaching us that our love for God grows as we get to know God better. Too right, said George. In verse 10 we see that love knows that God and desires God's ways. That's the second heading on those sheets if you're following there. When you want to keep a good relationship growing, you avoid offending the person you love, and positively, you aim to live in ways that please them. So Paul has prayed that God would enable his people to get to know him better and to perceive how God wants them to live. And in verse 10, he prays that this will result in practical changes in their day-to-day living. He prays that they will discern or approve what is best in the ways that they live. That's verse 10. He says there in verse 10, this is my prayer that your love might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you might be able to discern or approve what is best. This is the purpose of why he prays that their love might abound in knowledge and insight so that they can approve what's best in their way of living. Now they've got to know God, his character, desires, plans and purposes. They need to adopt these characters and desires for themselves to make them part of their own life. In this way, our love is soaked more and more in the knowledge of God and into the treasures of Christ. This knowledge will grow us into Christians who love and with a keener love and more aware moral sense of the situations that we encounter day by day. As a result, we realise how God wants us to live in these various situations, to seek what God seeks in them, to think and live out the way that pleases God, to fulfil his desires rather than our own. On the other hand, our normal way of living is driven by our sinful nature, seeking things that we desire for ourselves. Even as Christian people, we struggle with this. Our sinful nature is still present and leads us to be self-focused. As those who follow Christ and are called to put sin to death and to put on a new life of growing more and more like Christ, that is what we need to be doing. We need to put sin to death. I need to recognise how my own desires lead me to make decisions that favour me, and I need to put that way of living to death. Instead, I actually need to want to live to please God. That is a struggle in my will at that point, isn't it? I'm choosing not to follow my own ways, but rather to put into practice someone else's ways, God's ways. Go more and more in his way of thinking and desire. The result in verse 10 is that we continue growing in living a godly lifestyle so that we might be pure and blameless. That is where we keep growing towards. We want to keep growing more and more like our God who has saved us. And of course, Jesus has washed us clean of our guilt and shame through his death on the cross. We stand before the Father, pure and white, blameless. And in his letter, Paul reveals the result of a love that is increasing in knowledge of God and able to discern the best. In this way, our everyday lifestyle continues to change as we apply knowledge of God to the way that we live. As we put this into practice, we won't be like some Christian men who have mentioned to me that they can't help getting angry, for example. It's just the way they are. Isn't that an excuse we use to allow us to be doing whatever we want and had been doing in our way of life? It's just the way I am. Or others talk about being lazy or being too impatient. Some are always seeking to keep up with the latest fashion or with the latest technology, mainly to impress. But each of these ways of living we've adopted to please ourselves. When I get angry, people start taking notice and they might put into do what I say. I'm lazy because I just can't be bothered to get involved. Or I just don't want to make decisions. I'm impatient because I want it now. Without the hassle, without the stress, and without the hard work. And when it all gets just too hard, why not be diverted by a block of chocolate? But these attitudes are out of place in living a godly lifestyle. God does not choose to use anger to get his way. God is not lazy so that he can't be bothered to be involved. He entered the mess of our world, our sinful world. He took our sins and bore the punishment they deserved. God is patient with his rebellious creation, not wanting any to perish, but for all to find eternal life. We need to adopt his ways of thinking and living so that praying the Bible for each other will be praying for deep spiritual growth in ourselves. As we get to know God better, we yearn to live a life for his glory, a life that reflects his character, his desires, his longings. In this way, the Spirit produces his fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, perseverance, and self-control. These are seen in our everyday life. Your wife, your friends, your family will see them as you put them into practice. They are seen by others, by the people you work with, the people you see. Growing in these qualities are what he means when he talks about being pure and blameless. We want to be growing like God. He wants us to be growing that way. That's why it's his fruit that he causes to grow in us. Indeed, the full harvest will be evident on the day of Christ, the day that Jesus returns, when we see him for as he is. We will keep cultivating these qualities while we are looking for the return of Christ. You see, at the end of verse 10, he says, "So that you may be able to discern and approve what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ." We look forward to his return, and while we live here, we aim to grow more and more godly lives like him. We want to grow like the Lord Jesus. And so Billy Graham wrote in his autobiography some years ago, and then he wrote a follow-up because God enabled him a bit longer, and then he had written a third biography because God was so kind to him to let him continue to keep living. The third one takes a different approach, because he reflects on what it means to be godly through the various stages of aging. As his body gradually wears out and stops functioning well, as his memory keeps failing, as joints ache with pain, as he's awake at night and yet failing to fall asleep, the number of pills and doctor's visits he needs to make. It's just to focus on the difficulties and the struggles. It becomes so easy then to become bitter and resentful. Billy Graham said he found it a helpful time, really, to consider how he ages. How do you go through this stage of life in a godly way? As you look at your own age, advancing, things changing, how will you cope as the various things you've got so used to doing, you can't do? If you're growing older, and who isn't, you might find his reflections helpful. But it's all in the Bible anyway. It's what Paul prays here. If old age is on your distant horizon, start to live a godly way now. It'll be so much easier to continue living that way as you get older. Here's what you need to grab. What we need to do is we need to grab hold of in our Bible study groups, helping each other as we pray for each other. We should be disciples who are growing in love and so desiring to live God's way in all that we do. Do notice, Paul is telling us what he prays for Jesus' disciples in Philippi. He's not giving us another list of things to do. How good it would be if you prayed these things for me. How we prayed them for each other, You might like to pray them for Graham as he prepares to come. That our love for God would abound in knowledge and depth of insight so that we might long to live godly lives. In your Bible study group, in your family, for our missionaries, how good to pray this prayer for them. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. This would be a great prayer to start. Well, verse 11 gives us the full reveal of the impact of prayer as Paul shows us that love knows God and desires to live his ways and lives to his glory. That's the third heading on those sheets. Paul writes there in verse 11, we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. We are filled. He doesn't say will be. He says we are filled because we know Christ, because we're in life, live life with him. We are filled with the fruit of righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. He is changing us. The fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, he says, to the glory and the praise of God. He prays that his dear friends will not only be acquitted on that final day as those who are pure and blameless, but also that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of godly deeds and actions, the result of a right relationship with God, the result of abounding in love for God, a love that's guided by knowledge and godly insight. Here we see that Paul's prayer has direct and observable implications in people's lives. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness means adopting God's righteous character for ourselves, wanting to see ourselves live that way, working out in our own life where I'm not. Yes, that's like confession, I guess, in some sense, isn't it? And where I need to change, and praying that God might keep his work going in me. A faithfulness that trusts God, even when you travel through tough times, especially when it feels like God's abandoned you. In truth, he never will, because he's given you his Spirit, and Jesus is always with you. He will never leave you because Jesus is interceding before you, before his Father's throne. People around you then will find it remarkable that you have trust in a God like that. And remember, it's a trust that God himself has given you, given to you so that you will remain in him, given to you because God chose you, given to you because Jesus died for you, given to you because God adopted you into his family, as we thought earlier this morning, as one of his children. Yes, it's worth praying this prayer for yourself and for God's people here, each other, the people you're sitting with. All of these blessings are ours because they are the result of Jesus' death and resurrection. Verse 11, he writes that these blessings come to us through Jesus Christ, through him. They are only found in him. And all those in Christ share these blessings. So that when you pray that God will grow your love more and more, you can be sure God will answer that prayer. Do you like getting yes answers to your prayer? Then pray what God's promised he will do. You're certain to see that prayer answered. And because these blessings come to us through Jesus Christ, then it shows us they're not simply a result of striving for our own efforts. It's not us that produce them. It's God's work in us. Jesus has not left us to fend for ourselves or go on a self-improvement exercise. He has not simply given us a fresh page. He produces his fruit in us, and he calls us to keep in step with his Spirit as he goes down that pathway. As a result, our spiritual growth is to God's praise and glory. Who would think that God would take people like you and me and use us to be vessels displaying his recreative ability? That he could take sinful wretches like us and transform us into those who reflect the character of his Son. Since God is at work in us so that we reach that marvellous goal, we should pray that he accomplishes his purpose in us. It's hard to see your own growth that way at times, isn't it? You're so familiar with how yucky you are. Yet God is producing in you his fruit, and he will keep doing that over time. Keep yearning for that. God's Spirit will be leading you to put sin to death and to put on Christ's character of love and joy, of peace and patience. You'll also need to choose to adopt that way of living. That's why Paul prays that their love to abound might more and more. They are to put that effort, that striving, that transformation of life into living a life of love. God's Spirit will produce the change. We are called to strive for that change. You see, God is glorified as he produces his fruit in his disciples who desire to live his way. So it looks like a conclusion here is that here we have a model for us to pray for one another, praying that we will know God better, that we will desire to live godly lives, growing in the fruit of the Spirit while we look for the return of the Lord Jesus and live to his praise and glory. Brian and George were excited as they closed off their time together. Here was a model of prayer that changed the way they prayed. They still pray to each other's specific needs, but they learn to pray the Bible itself as a starting point for their prayer times. Do you think you could perhaps pray this prayer for our missionaries, for Hannah, for our youth leaders and the youth that they lead, for those that lead little sheep and so on? Could you pray this for those in your family, for yourself? Could you pray this prayer for Graham and myself and the staff team? Here, if you like, is a model prayer for us to pray for one another, even when you don't know their specific needs. Every Christian longs to grow spiritually. I'll use this passage to pray now, and so let's give ourselves to prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a rich love for you and your Son. Please keep working in us so that our love for you might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Please help us to know you better so we can discern what's best, because our sinful nature keeps pulling us away, making us feel that we know what's best for us. Please transform us so we might desire what you desire, and might be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus. Transform us, we pray, until we are filled with the fruit of righteousness which Jesus won for us. And may those around us give praise and glory to you when they see our godly way of life. Amen.